Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, part of the SB Nation Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, my faithful sidekick. That's right. In this realm, he's the sidekick and I'm the superhero. He is the Robin to my Batman. He is the boy wonder to my caped crusader. He is John Dam Johnston, our founder of Fearless Leader. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'll tell you what, in this Zoom meeting, you look like the oldest Robin that's ever Robin'd.
What the hell are you laughing at? My God.
We are welcoming back to the Five Heart Podcast a CornNation contributor. He talks recruiting. He loves football. And that is Akilo Roberts. Akilo, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great to be here.
Happy to have you. Great to see you. Repping the, you know, we're all wearing red, but John, he's the only one wearing official Husker gear.
Hey, my God, are you killing somebody again? Or are you burying a body?
No. No, man. I was getting my phone charger.
Okay, relax. Breathe.
We couldn't see each other last time. This is going to be even more fun.
I just wanted to know, Kalo, that the body is dead and won't go anywhere until after this podcast is done. Unless it's flopping around on the leg.
Just wait till rigor mortis sets in. All right, so let's start with the news of the day. And that was that Nebraska football had a decommitment, a very long-winded, after much consulting with family and conversations with the coaches, I committed to Nebraska, and then I made maybe a hasty decision, and I'm now decommitting, and my recruitment is 100% open. Akilo, tell us what happened to the three-star from Georgia today.
Yeah, Chris Paul Jr. From Cordell, Georgia, Crisp County High. What can I say, man? That's the world of recruiting nowadays. You know, yesterday he tweeted, literally yesterday, 24 hours ago, he tweeted, "I'm all in." And today, the next day, he's tweeting out, I got to do what's best for me and my family. And he decommits. You know, I don't know what to say, man. You know, maybe the recent commitments of Will Schweitzer from California, Steph Malcolm from Iowa, maybe that I'm scared of him, because I know that Nebraska, we're trying to completely rebuild our linebacking core. Coach Root and Coach Dawson are trying to completely rebuild the linebacking core. I've also heard we're going to be taking maybe two more linebackers as well. So maybe that scared him. Maybe that scared him a little bit. So that's really all I can think of, man. You know, I really liked him. I really liked his film.
Who else was recruiting the guy?
He recently got an offer from Tennessee this week. Before he committed to Nebraska, I know Cincinnati was recruiting him really hard. I know he had an offer from Michigan State. And recently, today on his Husker 24/7 page, he had his three top three teams as Cincinnati, Louisville, and Tennessee. I know he had been posting some Louisville stuff like the last couple of weeks. So maybe that's interesting. That's all I can surmise. But you know,
it's close to home, right? Where's he from? Georgia, was it?
Yes, Central Georgia.
We've talked in the very early weeks of the pandemic and coronavirus. We talked about some players who were either some attrition either from the recruiting class who were decommitting, or you know, active roster players, scholarship athletes who were transferring. And it wasn't just football. I think, John, correct me if I'm wrong, we talked, I think, volleyball, women's basketball as well. Some players who were just trying to find schools that were closer to home. How much, you know, in what you've been tracking, what you've been following, Akilah, how much has the pandemic and, for lack of a better term, the fear played in, you know, a lot of these, you know, high school kids considering schools, you know, giving more consideration to schools that are closer to home rather than going halfway across the country or farther?
Oh, that's played a significant part, Greg. You know, I can tell you one thing. You know, I live in Miami, Florida. So, you know, my local team is the Miami Hurricanes. And, you know, this year I'm seeing a lot of kids committing to the Hurricanes that would never, ever, ever commit to the Hurricanes in other recruiting years because they're too good for the Hurricanes, if I'm being honest. You know, so obviously that plays a part. You know, some guys, some not even some kids, maybe their parents are telling them, hey, we want you to stay closer to home because it's a pandemic. You know, we don't want you to get sick and all that type of stuff. But, you know, through all that, you know, Nebraska, we're still recruiting nationwide because, you know, unfortunately, because of location, we have to recruit nationwide. So the kids have been getting, like, I mean, besides Seth Malcolm, he's like close to Lincoln. But Will Schweitzer, he's on the West Coast. That's like 1,000 miles away from Lincoln. Some other guys that, you know, so pandemic's been playing. It depends, you know. Some schools, yes, some schools, no.
Well, it sounds like the dude that decommitted, I mean, he got better offers. His offers were going up. This is early in the process, right?
Yeah. I mean, for a 2021 kid, I mean, it's pretty, I wouldn't say early. It's pretty, like, I guess you could say in the middle, because, I mean, he really has, like, 6 more months left until it's time to sign the LOI. But I wouldn't even say better offers. I mean, Tennessee sucks. I mean, since Cincinnati is G5, I mean, Michigan State, which I said earlier, Michigan State is terrible. I mean, I don't know if Mel Tucker is going to be able to turn that around because they're going to be in some hot water for the next couple of years. But, you know, man, I don't know, man.
What
rebuttal?
What if? what does the, you know, the scenario of recruiting look like if, you know, like in here in Illinois, they still haven't made any decisions that there's going to be high school sports because of the pandemic. So if we see, you know, continued, I mean, there's just been a spike. I think I can't remember what state it was, but there was like the highest single day number of cases, like 3,000 cases or something.
Oh, Florida.
All right. Guilty. If we continue to see spikes like that, they might, you know, crank down on these restrictions again. So if there's no high school football, that is really going to play a massive part of, you know, of recruiting. I mean, because you guys aren't going to be able to get, you know, senior season, you know, highlights, anything like that. It's going to be, well, I mean, if there's no football this fall, it's, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to walk off, you know, into the field and never come back, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. It will be crowded there. It won't do you any good.
Fine.
Yeah. I think if there is no football to play this fall, I think a lot of kids are just gonna make a lot of teams are just gonna be going off kids film from last year, from 2019. They're gonna be going off camp members from 2019. And maybe some of the camps that we had earlier this year before everything shut down, like February, March. So
it's gonna be like the only, you know, recent memory equivalent is that it's gonna be like everybody's not drafting, but recruiting, you know, the Adrian Martinez type, because he got hurt, didn't play his senior year. So it's going to be like a nation of kids who didn't play their senior year. I want to talk briefly about the Paul kid who decommitted today, because you mentioned some other names that Nebraska has been looking at. I don't want to call it an epidemic because we're in a pandemic. I don't want to confuse people, but is there a crisis of lack of competition or fear of competition? Like if he sees, rather than coming to Lincoln with guys that are just as good, if not, you know, a higher star rating or whatever than him, if it feels like, you know, outsider looking in, that they have lost the will to compete, you know, to try to earn that spot rather than just having given to him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can say as far as Chris Paul goes, you know, his top three, if we're being honest, in his top three, you know, Utah, Tennessee. Tennessee is throwing around bags like JanSport this year. They're paying for all types of crews this year, you know. So I mean, if he goes to Tennessee, if they take him, he's gonna be competing with kids that are more talented per se on the ranking side, more talented than him. If he goes to Louisville, I mean, it seems like maybe he's been leaning Louisville because he's been tweeting about them before he committed today. If he goes to Louisville, he probably would be considered a big fish there because, you know, they're not really known for like producing linebackers there. Cincinnati is a good group of five team. But I don't really know why he really like wanted to go there over Nebraska. So
they paid him.
Maybe, you know, man. Luke Fickle's got money, man.
I want to talk, you know, we've talked about some more attrition, and speaking of a young player who was barely on campus, what happened, because I don't think we ever talked on it on the show, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but what happened with Henry Gray? Because he looked like he was very enthusiastic, a lot of social media presence about Nebraska, trying to, you know, talk to other, you know, high school athletes about Nebraska. What happened? What was the breakdown there?
Okay. This is all, first off, what I'm going to say, this is all speculation and hearsay. I am just reading the tea leaves. I don't know anything.
That's what we do, man. We do speculation.
Okay, so you want to go back to 2019 when he was a recruit, when he was committed to Nebraska. Reading the tea leaves, it seemed like, first off, if you remember, he was committed to Miami first. He decommitted from Miami, thinking he was going to be being able to go to bigger schools, and that never materialized. So after that happened, it seemed like Nebraska was like maybe his best offer. I don't want to say which is the best offer. Nebraska's better than all those schools. So I mean, I just want to say that. But I mean, it seemed like Nebraska was his best offer at the time. At the time when he committed in August or in September, I believe. And then after that, once they got on campus, there's speculation that he came to campus with an injury. He had shoulder surgery. He had shoulder surgery. He tore his labrum in his shoulder. And then after that, I mean, I don't know what to say, man. I mean, what can I say? He doesn't like it.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, just maybe a culture clash, you know. Some people find Lincoln heartwarming and charming, and some people say, I'm too far from people.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. After the COVID-19 thing happened and everything got shut down and the kids got sent home, he came back to Miami, and I guess he was like, man, I don't want to go to Lincoln again. I want to stay home. So he entered the portal.
I get that. I understand that. I mean, I've seen, you know, I've had kids, not my own, go places. And then, well, yeah, I have. my oldest son actually was going to go to Nebraska, and they cut his major. He was going to major in, thank God. And then he never went there. But I was going to say, you know, I've known a number of kids that have gone off to college at XYZ college and just said, I was homesick. I hated it. I didn't do good grades. You know, it just wasn't the right place for me, and they left. It's not any different for an athlete, I suppose, than it would be for a kid studying biochemistry or something like that.
Yep.
Well, let's talk some good news. You know, we've talked a little bit about some of the attrition, some of the decommitments.
Is there good news?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but between, first of all, it's been a little while since we've had a solid recruiting update here on the Five Heart podcast, but there's been, you know, some articles posted over at coronation.com where you can join on for free. And, you know, anyway, but, you know, Akilo and John, you both have been busy, you know, over the last couple of months, you know, getting some words out there about some of our, you know, commits that have been coming in. So let's talk. I don't know. Did we ever talk about, we got to go back to April for this one. It seems like forever ago, but did we ever talk about Branson Yeager coming in, at least with an official recruiting expert? Talk about the big man. Talk about the big man from Utah.
Okay. Yeah. Branson Yeager, Grantsville, Utah. First things first, and when he committed, I saw him. 6'8", 330 pounds. That's a big boy, in the words of Ed Orgeron. He had some good offers. Cal, UCLA, Utah, those type of schools, he had some good offers over there. He said that he basically committed to Nebraska because, in his words, he wanted to secure his spot. Nebraska, after talking to Coach Frost, Coach Austin, all those type guys, he wanted to be a Husker. He wanted to go to Nebraska. So he got on top of it. He called up Coach Austin, Coach Frost. They celebrated, popped champagne, whatever, and he's Husker. Well, yeah, I mean, watching his film. Like I said, he's 6'8", 330, but he moves very well for that size. He moves very, very well for that size. I was very impressed by that.
I say, watching this film, you can't miss him. He's got to be the biggest guy out on the field.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of roll through these, just kind of giving us, some updates. I don't want to say lightning round style, but something that Nebraska has desperately needed for a number of years, really since Randy Gregory, is any type of edge rush. So tell us about, the Florida native, just like yourself, Patrick Payton.
Yeah, all right. Patrick Payton is a beast. Once he gets under the tutelage of Coach Duvall, he's gonna be a monster for us, man. I went to one of his games last year. He played for Miami High last year. He transferred to Northwestern this year. Last year when he played for Miami High, I went to his game against Christopher Columbus Catholic High School. They're a really good football team out here too as well. They produced other D1 prospects as well. Actually, my cousin actually went to Columbus last year. He graduated. He's going to the University of Miami right now. He's a really good player as well. Patrick, though, he had 5 sacks against that team. 5 sacks. Weighing 195 pounds, man. 5 sacks, 195. Going against the O-line like that, man. Once he gets under that weight program, that strength conditioning program, he's going to be a beast, man.
How tall is he? You say 195. Is he what, about 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, like 6'4", 6'5".
Okay.
195.
So there's, I feel like with that, with that height, that frame, there's probably room, to bulk up a little bit in the S&C program at the nutrition table. Because if you said it was Christian Catholic? Was that the name of the school he was going up against?
Christopher Columbus.
I was close. But they both begin with C's. Anyway, I imagine that Christopher Columbus is a school that probably has a lot of talent on it. A lot of their players probably, go on and play at the next level. So to be that dominant against, a high performance high school program like that, that's a good sign. You can do that, and this is no disrespect to a Scottsbluff native Garrett Nelson, you can do that in Western Nebraska because there's not a whole lot of D1 talent out in Western Nebraska, I hate to say. But Garrett Nelson, obviously, he's got a different type of motor, and very happy that he's in Nebraska. So, if Patrick Payton can bring that type of, I don't know where I'm trying to go with it, but I'm excited that we have an edge rusher on the way.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Garrett Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right. Moving up next, a dual threat quarterback from Kearney, Heinrich Harburg. What is the strategy? And I guess it always makes sense to, you know, have plenty of depth in the quarterback room. But, man, it seems like they're taking two quarterbacks every class. Is that correct? Or more?
No, I just take one QB, as far as I can remember.
All right,
well. You go after about 20 and you get one.
Yeah. They offer a bunch of them, but, I mean, you only get one.
And after you get that one, he's probably going to come in. If he doesn't start in the first 2 years, he's out of there anyway. So you got to keep funneling the quarterbacks through.
Yep. This year they got Heinrich Harburg. Last year they got Logan Smothers. The year before that, Luke McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. The year before that, Adrian Martinez.
All right, okay. You guys have efficiently proven me wrong. Let's move.
Wasn't even that hard.
That's what she said. What she said.
So, what do you think of this Harburg guy?
What do I think? I think he's more athlete than pure quarterback right now. 6'5", 190, 10.9 meter dash. That's explosive for a 6'5", 190 guy. That's where the athlete part comes in. I've seen videos of him throwing on Twitter. I haven't watched his huddle film yet. Honestly, shame on me. But I've seen a video of him on Twitter. He can sling it. He's got a cannon. He's got a cannon on his arm. So I mean, he's got the whole package. Class C one in Nebraska. I don't know how much talent he's going up against, but I mean, once he gets to Lincoln, once he gets under Coach Verduzco, I think he's gonna be a really good player.
Hey John,
you think he'll stay at quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, what else can he do?
At 6'5", I mean, he could if he's as athletic, you know, what was the time on that 100 meter dash?
10.9.
I'm doing math in my head now. That's always
don't
scary.
Do that, it'll hurt you.
All right, I got to shake that free. I don't know. I see him playing on the opposite side of the ball, potentially. 6'5", that's good height for a cornerback, isn't it?
That's a little bit tall for a cornerback.
Yeah,
you take.
Could be maybe a tight end.
Why you got?
Yeah, maybe tight end, maybe receiver. You never know, man.
Why do you always shit on my dreams, John?
He's talking to you, John.
I didn't realize they were dreams. I'm not going to go into psychoanalysis of you right now, Greg. We'll do that maybe later on.
All right, hey.
I think this guy is interesting. I thought it was weird when we picked him up. That people are like, well, why'd they take this guy? Well, wasn't he like the third ranked player in Nebraska?
I mean, right? Yeah, he is. He is third ranked. But, I mean, you got to think about who's the top two. I mean, Avante Dickerson is like a borderline 5-star. Keegan Johnson is like a borderline 4-star. So, I mean, you got to think about where he's ranked. And think about the competition he's playing. He's class C1 in Nebraska. I mean, who is he playing? Really? I mean, think about it. That's a great ranking for him.
It is. Yes, that's right. And plus, he's third ranked. If Nebraska didn't pick him up, then people would be bitching about, well, it's got Brunson and getting the Nebraska players, you know, that kind of crap. So,
exactly.
Plus, I love his name. You guys, I don't know if you follow the comments on Coronation, but the Matt Masker thing is the constant butchering of the name thing where nobody gets that right. And now we've got Henrik Hargig. We're going to butcher that name forever. No offense to the guy. It's just something that happens just like on Reddit where they go crazy with stupid responses and comments. Okay, let's move on.
Hey, John, quick unrelated sidebar question. Akilo and I have very nice short haircuts. When was the last time you saw a barber?
Okay, look at this. See this right here? See this on the sides? It's short on the sides. This is by design. Okay.
Did the barber's clippers did they run out of juice?
We're working on something with the hair. This is going in a direction, and I want to point out that, by the way, as a 58-year-old man, I have this much freaking hair.
That's great.
I just haven't started working on the pomade that's going to go in it at some point. So get off my. I have had a haircut. I like putting my fingers through my hair and other women do too. Wait a minute. I said that wrong. Let's move on.
You did. I was going to ask if your wife liked running her fingers through your hair. And then you opened up the catalogs there, the Rolodex.
Yeah, you know, that was a long time ago. Let's go on. Isn't there more players to talk about? Some Daniel Cerny guy.
Look at him jumping from topic to topic so effortlessly. It seems like in this recruiting class, Akilah, we've definitely bulked up our kicker situation. Probably because we don't want to have to bring anybody in from the intramural soccer program in the future. So, I mean, do we need – how many kickers is too many kickers?
I mean, looking at what happened last year, there's evidently there's never enough kickers, you feel me? I mean, I was at that Colorado game, man. I mean, when that Isaac Armstrong kick went wide right, I was like, damn it! I was mad as hell, bro. That was embarrassing, man. The Colorado football players, the fans, they stormed the field. They ran over to us, started flicking us off and stuff, cursing us out and all type stuff. It was embarrassing, bro.
You didn't get the bag of pee thrown at you, though.
Bag of pee? No. Hell no, nah. We would have had to fight, man. But going on the highway from Boulder back to Denver, on the pedestrian overpass, people over it hanging CU flags. And cursing at us and all that type of stuff, it was crazy, man. It was sad, man. But that game proved, you know, you never have enough kickers. The Northwestern game, on the game winning field goal, when Lane McCallum's kicked, that was the most pitiful game winning field goal I've ever seen before.
But it was a game winning kick.
I mean, game winning. I mean, you know, Lane will be able to talk about it forever. He'll tell his grandkids about it. But I mean, that was very sad. I mean, you were talking about not going to go to intramural soccer team for another kicker. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Matt Waldock was actually very good. Ironically, I was at the Maryland game, his first game kicking. He actually was very good at kicking. So I was kind of torn when he announced he was leaving the team. Who knows? Maybe if they need him again this fall, he'll call him up again and get another kicker.
We don't need to pick up it. We need a roster of people that can play special teams. And so we have this Daniel Cerny guy who comes from Pro Kick Australia.
Mm-hmm. What? Tell us, because look, I'm not smart. I'm just gonna throw it out there. But Aussie rules football. Walk me through that if you can. Anybody? I've not done the homework on Aussie rules football.
Well, they have an oblong ball that's somewhat like American football, and they kick it a lot, apparently. And then they have this guy that stands under the goalpost that wears a Panama Jack hat, and he comes out and he like puts one finger out like a gun if you score some points, and then he puts two fingers out like a gun if you score more points than just the one finger thing. That's what I know about Australian rules football.
How does it differ from rugby, or does it?
Yeah, it's in Australia. What do you want? They punt the ball apparently a long ways. I think it looks a lot like rugby.
I mean, this guy's not going to – he's going to go out there first game, and he's not going to have pads or a helmet on.
Well, he is.
I think
they'll figure that out by the time that they get there.
I'm looking at Google image search of Australian rules football, and – there's no helmet. There's no pads. There's no pants. He's going to go out there in shorty shorts and a tank top, and he's going to kick that football into the stands. I just see it happening.
There are two teams of 18 players.
Oh, geez, here we go.
On an oval field.
Oh, well, he's already going to be thrown off. We play on a rectangle.
He'll okay. Be okay, Greg. I'm sure that he's smarter than you. I'm sure he's already smarter than you. And, you know, he'll figure it out in no time whatsoever that he needs to wear helmet and pads and, you know, mostly because that's the rules. And he might actually be expected to make a tackle. I hope not.
All right. But yes,
we have another punter, and his name is Daniel Cerny, and he comes from apparently a school of kicking. I don't know. I thought this was kind of weird, but I guess they're going out and finding punters and kickers.
Well, let's move on as the Zoom chat is in its final 10 minutes. Let's talk about a wide receiver from Georgia, Sean Hardy the second.
Sean Hardy, man, I saw man. He's I don't want to give him that title of beast yet because I don't feel like he deserves it yet. He's a great player though. On his NCSA profile, he reported a 4.49 40 at 6'3", 190. That's flying. Watching his film a lot, he's a deep ball specialist. He knows how to track the ball while it's in the air. He goes up. He gets that thing. Scores a lot of touchdowns. Gets a lot of long receptions. You know, I mean, we can never have enough of that. You know, Nebraska, we've been begging for a big body receiver for the longest, and we finally got it.
Is he going to be one of those guys that every time he catches the ball, you're going to hear the announcer say, you know, in the replay, you see that he caught the ball at its highest point?
probably will.
I'll take it.
He was doing a lot of that in his huddle film.
John?
Yes?
Your thoughts?
It's a receiver. They keep going through him. I mean, you know, I don't look at these guys. I just look at what we're – you know, I don't really – everybody knows this. I look at most of these guys until they get on campus and get on the field. I really don't pay that much attention to them. But, I mean, earlier we mentioned the fact that they're going to take one quarterback per class. It almost seems to me that Scott Frost is really desperately – I don't want to say desperately. He's trying to get as many receivers into the pipeline as possible without overdoing it, because we need points, you know. And if this guy can score points, he's going to get on the field. So, I mean, you, how many receivers do we have in this class so far, Caleb?
Oh God! Oh, we have one. Yes, Sean Hardy. We actually Latrell Neville, receiver from Texas. He's announcing on the 4th of July. And we're his leader, apparently. He told all the other schools where he's going to, and we're his leaders. That's a good thing. 4-star receiver, similar mold as Sean, like 6'3", 195, 200 or so.
Do you think he's going to announce during the Nathan's Famous hot dog contest, eating contest?
I mean, you never know. Isn't that in Brooklyn? I mean, he's from Texas.
It doesn't matter. It's the 4th of July. Nobody's doing anything but watching people eat hot dogs that they shouldn't be eating. So
maybe. You never know. That's another guy we should get. There was another receiver that we were really high on, named Jalen Noel. We were talking. He was really going all out for Nebraska. Then he committed to Iowa State sight unseen. I don't know where that came from. I mean, all the best to him. So, I mean, right now we have one Sean Hardy, probably two by next month, and Latrell Neville as well. We're probably going to take like 3 or 4 receivers this class. Coach Frost said that this class is going to be a very small class, so they're being more deliberate on who they take.
So I was wrong. Greg didn't even jump all over that because he's a wiener.
You know, a guy brings up the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest, and all of a sudden you call him a wiener. That's not nice.
Well, it's fits.
All right, Akilah. So we the silence was fun. The silence was for you. I was giving you the look, John.
Oh yeah, they could see that. They could see that on the podcast. Yes,
this audio version, it didn't necessarily translate. So we got about 5 minutes left, Akilah. Take a couple of those minutes, and you know, you mentioned the receiver from Texas, but do you see any other? You know, as we joke about in the Slack chat room, have the pre-write ready, blah blah blah. Little peek behind the curtain there for the listeners. But if you had your crystal ball out, do you see any other commitments coming down the pipe here in the summer months?
Okay, right now I can think of two. The first one, obviously, the one that everybody probably, every Nebraska fan has probably heard of by now. 4-star Iowa tight end Thomas Fedone, or Fedoni, I forgot, I'm sorry if I butchered his last name. Basically, we're his leader right now. Every school in the country is after him. I mean, apparently he grew up a Nebraska fan. I mean, Council Bluffs is right next to Omaha. So, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, he's the best tight end in the country. I watched a lot of this film. If you get him, man, he is a game changer, man. He's a beast. He is crazy. He is insane. Obviously, I'd love to get him. And the other one would be there's a running back from Georgia. His name is Gabe Irvin. He goes to Buford High outside of Atlanta. He said he has a really good relationship from Coach Held right now, Coach Frost as well. I watched his film. I really like him a lot. Georgia offered him, so I mean that's a really good thing because I mean Georgia's offering an in-state kid. I mean he's really good. Although I'm not sure if he's a take for Georgia right now. The fact that they even offered him, that's a great thing. That's showing that he has the talent. So I'd say those two, I'd say would be the top two that I'd consider to be the most likely to commit right now.
If Fedone committed to Nebraska, would there be that type of Iowa meltdown that Nebraska experienced when, you know, like Fant went to Iowa? I mean, would they just would it be bigger because, you know, I don't know where Noah Fant was, you know, rated coming out of high school, but if this is the top tight end prospect in the country and he's going to go to your next door neighbor / rival, that's going to be a lot of upset Hawkeyes.
I think Noah Fant and I think Thomas Fedone's recruitments aren't that really. I mean, they're both tight ends, but I mean, there are some differences. Noah Fant, basically went during his recruiting process. We were recruiting him as a defensive end at first. We had Hank Hughes on him. Hank Hughes was a terrible recruiter. And then so basically, I was prioritizing him at tight end. Basically, he went there. We tried in the end. We tried. I actually said, okay, no, we'll let you come in at tight end. He was actually considering us, but in the end, he stuck with Iowa. I mean, that worked out great for him. He's first round draft pick, Denver Bronco, probably going to be the best tight end in the league this year, or probably top five in the NFL this year. Thomas Fedone, I think Iowa has such a great reputation for tight ends. I think it's not going to hurt them as much. Iowa has such a great reputation for tight ends. I don't think it's going to hurt them as much. I think they're going to be butthurt. I mean, we're Nebraska. They hate us. They hate us. I mean, five in a row. They love throwing that in our face on Twitter, social media, all that type stuff. So I mean, they'll be salty about that. But I mean, they have a tight end pedigree. They'll be all right. They'll be fine.
All right. John, we got about 90 seconds left. Anything that you wanted to tack on as you were awfully quiet this week?
No.
Okay. Akilah, man, we appreciate you taking some time out this evening to visit, talk a little recruiting with us. And thank you for all your work that you do on coordination.com as you are part of that terrific recruiting team that we have of coverage at coordination.com. You can check out Akilah's writing. And you know, just stay in tune with all the coordination.com stuff. So that'll do it for this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. For Kilo Roberts, John Dam Johnston, I'm Greg Mahochko, reminding you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go, Big Red.